holy. Father, we thank you for your presence. We thank you for revelation knowledge. Thank you for the ability to see the invisible by the light that comes from your word into the human mind. For it is written, for God has shined in our hearts to give us the knowledge of the glory of God that is in the face of Jesus Christ. Thank you for giving us this insight into truly who you are. The heavens declare your glory. The earth is full of your handiworks. Our bodies are fearfully and wonderfully made. And like David said, that our soul knoweth well. We bow in the awesomeness of your wisdom and power. You're a great God. We enter your word now with humility, very conscious of the limitations of our natural human minds, to deliver as well as to receive your infinite wisdom that has been compressed into this written word. And therefore, I come to ask you for mercy and help and grace. Fresh unction from heaven, so that indeed I would speak as I should, as an oracle of God. I further ask that you will put the same unction and anointing upon the ears and the hearts of everybody who will hear me, those who are here physically present, those who will hear me remotely, electronically, so that the word will flow freely from you through me to the people, to do an internal and eternal work in all of our hearts. In particular, to cause our hearts to become, our wills to become more humble, minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, emotions to be more tempered and controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. We further pray that the power of the Spirit of God be released in sufficient measure to follow these words and back them wherever they are heard and release it all the earth. Power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes, power that will free men so that they will become doers of the things that they hear and not hearers only. We also pray for mercy to be faithful, that I will deliver this word with precision, redeeming the time, saying only what you want me to say, bringing out of the treasure of this word things new and old, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all's in agreement with me, receiving every blessing I mentioned in that prayer in their own individual life, agreed with me individually and said, I have another prophetic landmark message today. It is a very important message because we are in the end time. And it so happens, because I do these things by the Spirit of God rotationally over the years, that we're also studying the book of Revelation. And the hour has come where God's people must no longer be ignorant of end time truths and realities and the days in which we're living. If you're ignorant, it is a I don't know what word to use. It's actually, you're preparing for confusion and difficulties, because these are days where all kinds of things are flying around, you know. And if you know the truth and you're on solid ground, then like the Apostle Paul says, you will not be tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. I've entitled it Escaping the Great Tribulation by the Man-Child Rapture. That's quite a mouthful. Everybody say, escaping the great tribulation by the man-child rapture. The implication of that title is that, number one, God wants us to escape it, or there is an escape that is available. Number two, a great tribulation is coming. Number three, there is what is known as a man-child rapture. The implication of that is that there's probably more than one rapture, which in actual fact there is. But let's deal with these things precept upon precept, line upon line. That's one of the giftings of a prophetic teacher. I am a prophetic teacher by the grace and the mercy of God. And we're able to have light and insight into God's word and then break it down line upon line, precept upon precept, so that the people will understand and then, by the grace and the mercy of God, benefit and be doers of what they hear. Let me say this also. It's not in my notes, but I believe the Holy Spirit wants me to say it. You know, the Bible says, believe the Lord your God, so shall you be established. He said, believe his prophets, so shall you prosper. And over the years, you know, most people interpret that in only in terms of material prosperity, which it includes. There's definitely an inclusion of that. But if you read the context in which it was actually said, it was said to Jehoshaphat, you know, when these people attacked them and he didn't have a way to go. And the prophetic word came and told them what to do. And they believed the prophetic word and they prospered in the purpose. So now, as you believe this prophetic word, this prophetic teaching, you will prosper in the purpose. And that purpose is for you to escape the great tribulation that is coming upon the earth. Even though we're now maybe about 20 or 20 something years away, or maybe a little bit more or less, you know, we can already see all the signs on the earth. We can see the signs of great problems. Just day before yesterday, I think it was Friday, children all over the world and some in Abuja too joined them, you know, were protesting about climate change. And, you know, want to get the leaders of the world to do something about this climate change because of the burning of fossil fuels that's causing carbon dioxide in the air that is blocking the ozone layer and what is known as the greenhouse effect. You know, there are problems man is facing now they don't have a solution to. And where solutions even seem to exist, the political will to implement those solutions seem to be absent because many of the leaders are selfish, they are self-centered, they think only of, you know, the short-term benefit to themselves and their profit, and they don't think of the long-term effect, you know, upon the planet. America, in particular, is plagued right now with gun violence that has gone totally out of whack. You know, children go to school, they're afraid, they don't know what's going to happen. Some boy in school gets angry, you know, with another boy, and he will go away, and then he'll get a gun from his daddy's house, he'll come to school and start shooting people, you know, and people die. People go to McDonald's to go and have lunch, you know, and you're there, and some crazy guy comes in with a gun, and even nursery school. These are terrible signs. And this is now in a green tree. When the church is still here and we're praying and all of that, what will happen when we're gone? It's called great tribulation. You don't want to be here. So I'm going to say what I said during the Bible study because it fits in appropriately here. He that hath an ear. I didn't hear you. Repeat it after me. He that hath an ear. Let him hear now what the Spirit is saying. He's saying it to all of us. He's saying it to the church. I'm going to also say something that I wanted to shock you good to shock you so that, you know, it shocks people in some way. If there was a possibility that you could not escape, then the Bible will not tell us to escape. It means it is possible not to escape. Now, of course, that's not the will of God. We're going to see that in a minute. But it means that, I've discovered something about the Lord Jesus Christ. He doesn't just use words carelessly. He said, watch and pray. We're going to get to it. You know, I'm getting ahead of myself. That you may be counted worthy to escape. It means that if you don't do certain things, you will not escape. You will escape in Jesus' name. Nobody wants to take purpose. Nobody said amen to that. Nobody wants to agree to negative confession. This is goes beyond negative confession. And that is why my people perish for a lack of knowledge. You know, like I said during the Bible study, there are so many Christians, they are caught up in this world. Loss of the flesh, the loss of the eyes, the pride of life, the deceitfulness of riches, the loss of other things, you know, the cares of this earth. So they're not even aware spiritually of what is going on around them. And many are living in a fool's paradise because they have been erroneously taught, and we're going to lay it all out now, line by line, that once you are born again, you will go. It's not true. It's not automatic simply because you are born again. Otherwise, he will not say, watch and pray always and be accounted worthy. If it was automatic, there's no need for that. It is very unprofitable to deliberately, through willful ignorance and dishonesty, to avoid scriptures that make you uncomfortable and pretend as if they are not there. Because the word of God is coming to pass. You like it, you don't like it. I think it was Paul who said this to Timothy. He said, preach the word in season and out of... In other words, they like it, preach it. They don't like it, preach it. That's what it means, in season, out of season. Let's look at this first thing. What is the great tribulation? I'm not going to go into all the detail. We're still studying the book of Revelation, and so we're going to be looking at some of these things over the next months, maybe a year. I don't know how long it's going to take us, you know. But let's look at Matthew 24. Matthew 24 is the great stem of the all of the end time. This was the discourse the Lord Jesus Christ gave on the Temple Mount when his disciples... They were sitting down at the temple, and I just give a quick preamble. I'm not going to read all the scripture. I'm just going to, you know, focus on the particular scripture I want. And they were admiring. This was Herod's temple. For those who do not know, you know, there were about three or four structures that were built for God in the Old Testament. The first one was Moses' tabernacle, which was just a tent made with, you know, animal skins and cloth and material. It was a mobile tent. They would take it up. The Levites would carry it. When they get to the next place, they would set it up. You know, that one, you know, after some years, they were 40 years in the wilderness. By the time they entered the promised land, most of it was tattered, you know. So they had to have a place called Shiloh where they used to put the tabernacle. They didn't have all of those things, you know, because the tabernacle, it got... Over time, it wore out, all the materials wore out and all of that. So there was nothing. They just, you know, put a temporary something on it. Then they lost it to the Philistines. When they lost it to the Philistines, it was in the land of Philistines for years, about 20 years or more, you know, after Eli's sons died. And it stayed there until the time of David. When David now became king, David said, wow, this is not good. Let's go and get the ark. To cut a long story short, they brought the ark back. And they put it in a tent. It's not the same. It's not tabernacle of Moses. He just did a temporary tent, you know, where he put it. There was no outer court. There was no holy place. There was nothing. It was just an ark. And God really honored David by allowing that. Because back in those days, if you look at the Ark of the Covenant, you fall dead. Because of the Shekinah glory and the intensity of that glory. It's like, in a sense, like radiation. You know, if you have intense, if you go to a hospital, and you see where they're doing x-ray, you'll say, be careful, no exposure. See, intense radiation. If you get overexposed to x-rays, it will, over time, kill you. But there are certain kind of rays that are called ultraviolet rays, you know, they come from outer space. Thank God for the atmosphere we have around the earth. You know, if those rays were hit you, some of them could kill you like that. Now, imagine God who is light. All the intent is all there. And then you just open that place and it does not reduce without his permission to reduce the intensity. And the whole thing just blasts you. Boom. So anyway, they brought it. So David now said, this is not good. Let me build a temple. So that's how David didn't build it, and Solomon built it. So there was Solomon's temple. Solomon's temple was destroyed because of disobedience of the Babylonians. Then Ezra, Nehemiah, Zerubbabel, thank you. You know, this many, many years, over 70 years later, they now came, then they built another temple. That's Zerubbabel's temple. It was a good temple, but it wasn't as glorious as Solomon's own. And over the years, you know, some of the kings, like Herod, built a temple. So that's the background. So they're sitting there and they were looking and admiring the temple and all the things on it. And then they asked, they said, Jesus, you know, Lord, can you see how beautiful this temple is? Jesus said, you see this temple? He said, the day is coming where it's going to be destroyed. There will not be one stone left upon the other. So they said, tell us, how will these things be? So that's how he began to tell them. He says, when shall these things be? What will be the sign of thy coming and of the close of the age? So he now gave them a whole teaching, you know, discourse in Matthew 24. And at the end of it, during this teaching, he made this statement. And we know that it is so because, well, of course, Jesus said it. And history has confirmed it. So he now said, look at verse 21. He said, for then, I didn't hear you, shall be great tribulation. Let me just make a statement here. We all go through tribulation in our lives. The Bible says in the world you will have tribulation. You know, the Bible says through more tribulation you enter the kingdom. That's not what he's talking about here. He's not just talking about the ordinary tribulations we face as Christians. Can't you all join in for endeavor, trials, and temptations? We all have tribulations in our lives. We have tribulation just means trouble. You know. But this one is prefaced with the word great. So this is a period of time in human history where there's going to be such a great... There's always been tribulation. There have been tribulations in our individual lives, and nations have had tribulations. Nigeria has had hers during the Civil War. We've had, you know, America has had hers during the American Civil War, the War of Independence. England has had hers. You know, all the nations of the world have faced one tribulation or the other. But that's not what he's talking about. He's not talking about general tribulation. He's talking about the great tribulation. That was a great tribulation. Such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time. No, nor ever shall be. So it's unique. When it happens, there will be nothing that has ever happened before that can compare to it. And after it happens, something you think will never happen again. And the Lord Jesus also tells us something in the next verse, which is verse 22. And he says, except those days, that is the days of that tribulation, should be shortened, there should be no flesh be saved. He said, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. There's a lot of implications by that statement. Number one, God will shorten it. You know, he will cut it short. He will not allow it to continue. Because if it continued, there will be nobody who will survive on the earth. The entire human race would have been wiped out. Number one. Number two, it means that there will be some of the elect that will be on the earth. It means they didn't escape. You have to read your whole Bible. That's why it's line upon line, precept upon precept. It means that there are some Christians who will be there, here during the tribulation. Let me say what we all like. It will not be your portion in Jesus' name. But that alone will not solve it. That's why I'm teaching what I'm teaching. Believe his prophets. So shall you prosper to escape. So he that hath an ear, what the Spirit is saying. Okay. So this is what the Bible calls the Great Tribulation. It's a period of time, most Bible scholars and prophetic teachers, and I agree with them, it's probably going to be about 7 years. You know, it's going to be split into two sections. There will be a 3.5 year period, you know, which will be bad. It's typified in the book of Revelation, you know, by what the Bible calls the seven trumpets. Then there's a second half. That's the really bad one, which is typified by seven vials. You know, when Jesus made this statement 2,000 years ago, men didn't have some of the things we have today. There were no nuclear weapons. We now know that what he said here is very possible. If there is a nuclear conflagration between the major nuclear powers on the earth, the United States, Russia, China, England, France, you know, India and Pakistan have joined the club, and some other guys who want to join, praise the Lord. May God not let them join. There is enough armament on the earth now to destroy the entire planet 100 times over. The fact that it hasn't been used shows that there is a God who rules in the affairs of men. Because we've had it since 1945. The first nuclear bombs were dropped by America in Hiroshima and Nagasaki in August 1945. Since then, all the other nations, most of them didn't have the technology, they didn't have the wisdom. You know, they went to go and copy America, you know, through spying, like Russia. They sent in spies, you know, got the plan. So Russia built her own, then China built her own, then, you know, England built her own, then France built her own. Initially, it was just those five for many years. Then some years later, India built one. Pakistan said, we too must have our own. So Pakistan built one. And then North Korea, too, is trying to build one. And so many, Iran, too, is saying, we too want to join the club. If you put that thing in the hands of irresponsible people, you know, it's not the kind of bomb where they drop it, where you can go and hide. I remember when we were children in the Civil War. This is 1967, 68, 69. I can never forget. I was 8, 9 years old. You know, they would tell you that if they drop a bomb, you know, you go and lie by the wall. So when the wall falls, it will fall over. Because if you're in the middle of the room and it comes, you know. And I not forget, I was 8, 9. You know, we lived in Ikoyi. You know, and there was a day the Biafrans came to bomb the Dambuda barracks. Yes. I can never forget that night. You know, I was just a kid, you know. And my bed was by the window. You know. And, you know, you know, fortunately, it didn't come near us or anything like that. But you could hear all the noise and everybody was shouting, you know, you know how Yoruba people are, you know, cowards. And nothing had come near them. It was just noise, you know. You know, and they tell you, you know, you go and hide and do this and do that. You know, there was all these things on television, join the civil defense and all of that. But that's a conventional bomb. The kind of bomb we're talking about, you can't hide. It's a thermonuclear explosion. The temperature goes up to 40 million degrees Celsius at the core. So the things that are in the first 3 kilometers, 5 kilometers, you just dissolve. Mm-mm, you don't burn, you dissolve. Wow. Now, that's one bomb. Now, imagine somebody firing about 10 or 15 or 20 of them. Nigeria is 180, almost 200 million now. It will not happen to us in Jesus' name. Pastor is not prophesying. Don't twist what I said, you know. But God forbid, if they drop 3 or 4, everybody will perish.
You can't run into the Atlantic Ocean. You can't run to Togo. You can't run to Ghana. You can't run to Niger. I'm just trying to give you a picture of what the Bible means is great tribulation. And what it means when it says, except the Lord shorten those days. He said, no flesh. If they drop 20 on America, can you imagine a nation of 300 million people, everybody will perish. If they drop like 30 or 40 or 50 in a place like China, which is 1.2 billion, everybody. All you just need so three, four careless guys. This one sends his own, this one sends his own, this one sends his own, and the whole planet can be wiped out in 24 hours. It can happen. It will not happen. But it can happen. The technology, the power for it to happen. When Jesus made that statement, he would look at it. In those days, all they had was bow and arrow and sword and, you know, how can all flesh perish? But now we know it can be so. You will escape in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. So, you know, that's what the Great Tribulation is. Now, we need to understand that what is going to cause this, I'm trying to cut this thing as short as I can, you know, is going to be the emergence of the Antichrist's spirit. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now we beseech you, brethren, just start from verse 1. I'm not going to read everything. It's just, now we beseech you, brethren, I didn't hear you, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by gathering together unto him, that you soon be not shaken, or that you be not soon shaken in mind or troubled, neither by spirit or by nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. You know, some people were saying in those days that it's going to be tomorrow. Paul said, don't mind them. You know, that's, you know. He said, don't let anybody deceive you. I didn't hear you. Let no man deceive you. And I'm saying the same thing today by the Holy Spirit, because a lot of people are being deceived. For that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. He's talking here about the Antichrist, a person. Now, there is a spirit of Antichrist that's already in the earth. It's been this here since the time of the early apostles. Said there are many Antichrists. But a great world leader is going to emerge some years down the road. He probably is alive already. He's probably just a child now. Or maybe he's about 10 or in his teenage years. He's going to arise and he's going to have world dominion. This after we're gone. And the Bible says he's going to behave as if he's God. He's going to sit, there's going to be a new temple built. All that looks impossible now, but it's going to happen. In Jerusalem, and he's going to take it. I don't want to get off all that. Now, look at verse 6. He says, now you know what withholdeth, that he, he's talking about the Antichrist, might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity, I didn't hear you, doth already work. Only now, he, I'm turning to him and say, who is he? Say, the man child. Hallelujah. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. That's the man-child rapture. It is only after the man-child, the perfect church, the glorious church has been removed that the Antichrist can manifest. Because it is the perfect church, the spiritual power through the intercession and the prayer that is restraining it. You
need to understand that as a Christian. That's why all these prayers, good morning, all we're doing now, it's so important. You're praying, look at all that's happening. You don't want to know what would have happened if we didn't pray. If it's possible, I would have tried an experiment, but I wouldn't do it. Say, so don't let's pray for 2 weeks. Just because they don't believe, honey. Cat ears, let them learn a lesson. Let's just, you know, so that they will understand. Talk about Jegbadia, then they will. I'm only joking. But seriously. Nigeria. You don't want to know what would have happened if we're not praying. Are you not here to this afternoon? Are you not sitting in the air conditioner? Are you not listening to this message? Are you not living a quiet and peaceful life? In all godliness and honesty, in spite of the herdsmen, in spite of this, do you not go out? Can you not go out and come in? Then give God thanks. And stop complaining and murmuring. If there was not a church that was praying and praying effectively, you probably could not come here this morning. I appreciate what you've got. And stop complaining. They thank God for some people who are praying. He said, by the mouth of the wicked, the city is overthrown. He said, but righteous man turn away wrath. Don't let me get off. So, there is going to be a great tribulation. It's going to be caused by this person called the Antichrist. You know, he's going to arise. First of all, he will look like a peaceful person. Remember Adolf Hitler? Adolf Hitler was the forerunner. He wasn't the Antichrist. But he was a test run. You know, for those of you who don't know your history, and you need to know history. Because if you don't understand history, you can't understand your future. You know, but I'll just quickly, you know, quickly summarize this. You know, when Adolf Hitler first came, nobody thought he was a wicked man. No, those who were close to him knew. But people who saw him afar or just thought that he was a great German nationalist. For those of you who don't know, Germany lost World War I. So when they lost World War I, the Allied forces, that is France, England, you know, and some of the other countries, they put a lot of punishment on Germany. So Germany had to be paying back a lot of money because of all the things they did in World War I, you know, through what is known as the Versailles Treaty. That thing affected the German economy. And the Germans, you know, they had high inflation. To eat was a problem. People were out of work. This was the same time of what is known as the Great Depression in America. This is the 30s. It was in that milieu that Adolf Hitler arose. And what did he say? He said, I will put bread back on your table. And I will help you. And I will build the German pride that has been desecrated. So initially, we were just looking at him. Who's this guy? You know. Then he started talking, and people said, ah, "Okay." You know. Before they knew it, this guy, you know, who was really a very evil man on the inside, he'd always had this thing against the Jews, but it didn't come out fully initially. He even tried to seize power by a military coup. He put it in a place called Munich. This was 1921 or something like that. This was years before it failed. He was put in prison. You know? And, you know, during the prison time, he wrote that book called Mein Kampf, which means my struggle. You know? And he was, you know, talking about how he was going to raise German, change the German and all the disgrace Germany had had. So they now released him from prison, you know, and he started this political party. Initially, they didn't win any seats. They were very few. They weren't powerful. Anyway, to cut a long story short, because I don't want to go into all of that. The important thing was that he formed coalitions and things like that. Then he knew that going military way was not going to work. You know, during a coup, he said, you have to go politically. So he now joined some political parties, had coalitions and all of that. Before they knew it, his message started gaining traction because many of the Germans who didn't have food, who did not have jobs, who inflation or something, they said they start telling them, you know your problem, the Jews. It is the Jews, they are the bankers. They are they are the one who's taking away your job. They are the one who have taken away your bread. And they started believing it because they were in a problem. So as he gained more political traction, he now began to do great social works. They started having food kitchens. People will come on the road. The Nazi party will feed them. People will be fed. Then he started, you know, when he got into power, he started building nice roads, autobahns. It was Adolf Hitler that did Volkswagen. In German, it means Volkswagen. It means the people's car. Was Adolf Hitler. One American reporter came to America, I think it was 1936. That's when Hitler hosted the Olympics. You know, they said they shouldn't say anything bad against any, even the blacks. Although he walked out when Jesse Owens won, you know, but they had been giving strict instructions, don't, you know, antagonize anybody. So they were treated well in the hotels. They said, Germany is a great country. One American reporter is on all the, you know, newsreels and everything. He said, you know, I want to thank the great German leader Adolf Hitler, you know, how he has built this country back and all that. He looked like a good man. That was 36, 37, 38. He started doing concentration camps. Nobody knew. Putting the Jews away, but did it in secret. 39. 35, that was the biggest mistake the Allies made. 35, 36, 37, and 38 was when he built his army against the Versailles Treaty. Made tanks, bombs, planes stronger than any other country. And did it in secret. The Allies kind of saw him and they just winked at it. They said, don't mind him. He can't do anything. In 39, when he felt strong enough, he attacked Poland. I know what he did. He got Germans to wear Polish uniform, then fire on German territory to make it look like as if it was the Poles that attacked. Talk about a wicked man. And then he used that excuse to go, and then the war started. The point is this. The same thing, the Antichrist is going to come. How many people, you know, there are problems on the earth now. There's political problem, there's economic problem, there's all kinds of... Somebody's going to arise. He'll be very charismatic. He probably, my estimate, is probably going to be German or French. I'm not sure yet. And he will speak so well. He will be eloquent. And he will say, why are we fighting ourselves? Let's make peace. He will even make peace with Israel. For 3.5 years. And then... So he is going to be the one that will arise. And cause a big problem, and you know, political and all of that. Now, I'm trying to see how I can cut some of these things. Let me say this way: in Christendom, that is in the kingdom of God, and in the church, you have many contending views. Some people believe in a pre-tribulation rapture. Some people believe in a mid-tribulation rapture. Some people believe in a post-tribulation rapture, like I showed you from Matthew 24, that some of the elect are here. So the people are always fighting and arguing. The truth, the real truth, is that all three are true. All the three are true. That's the real truth. All of them are true. They will be Christians who partake of a pre-tribulation rapture. There'll be Christians who partake of a mid-tribulation rapture, and there'll be Christians who partake of the post-tribulation rapture, depending, I like the way Paul said it. He said, you know, in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he says, every man after his own order. That is why, now listen, the way you live now will determine your order. The people who are fasting and praying and getting up early in the morning, they are not fools. If you live a clean and a holy life, you live a life as you walk in the Spirit, you are preparing yourself for a pre-tribulation order. If you are careless, you're preparing yourself for either a mid or post-tribulation order. It is all in your hand. You know what Jesus said? He said that I will give unto every man according to his works. I'm not talking about salvation. You don't get born again by works. All of us are born again. That's foundational. We all have the same. He said, but let every man take heed how he builds. You build with gold, you're looking for pre-tribulation. You build with, you're looking for mid-tribulation. You build with wood and hay, you're looking at post-tribulation. Whose fault? You. In a great house, there are many vessels. There are some unto honor, some to dishonor. Gold, silver, and precious stones. Then wood and earth. Who determines the type of vessel? You. If a man therefore purge himself. So you determine. Don't let them lie to you. That because you are born again automatically whenever the rapture. You've heard this before. Stay rapturable. You know, it's automatic. We're all going to go. You know, yeah, we're going to go, but in different orders. In different orders. Now, scripture I have in my notes there, I just want to mention it. You know, and I mentioned it tangentially earlier on, you know, when I talk about rightly dividing the word of truth. You see, this is why you need anointed prophetic and apostolic teachers who have revelation knowledge, you know, and can rightly divide the word of truth. Because God's truth is hidden. The Bible says it is the glory of God to conceal a matter. And the question you want to ask is, why will God hide it? Why didn't God just make it plain to everybody? Why would God hide it? The Bible speaks about hidden wisdom in three places. In Proverbs there, you know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, it says, you know, we speak the wisdom of God in him, even the hidden wisdom. Then in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, in verse 2, it says, he that speaks in our tongue speaks unto men, for howbeit in the spirit he speaks mysteries. The Bible, the translation says, secrets. Why? The answer is in Isaiah chapter 28. Now let's go to that one. Isaiah 28 verses 11 and 12. This is one of the scriptures, you know, we even sing it when we sing those David Hingle songs, you know, about praying in the spirit, refreshing and all of that. Now, this is where tongues, this is the kosher lemongridofrinesk. I taught us this last week, you know, there is shadow and substance. Remember? I remember. You know, the Old Testament is the glove, the New Testament is the hand. The Old Testament is the shadow, the New Testament is the substance. This is the shadow of tongues. It was in the Old Testament all these years. It wasn't until Jesus came that and people got baptized with the Holy Spirit that they now understood that that's what he's talking about. He said, with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to these people. Right back in the Old Testament, there is hidden. That's why there is nothing we're doing in the New Testament that you could not see the shadow of it in the Old Testament. Now, that is to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it's because there's no light in them. Am I talking to anybody here? Now, verse 12. Watch this. To whom he said, this is the rest. Wherewith you may cause the winds to rest. Stop. It means if you pray in tongues a lot, it will bring you rest. What did Paul say in the New Testament? Labor to enter into rest. He says, Epaphras laboreth fervently for you in prayers. Now, you see what I've just done? I've given you, this is one scripture in the Old Testament, but I have quoted another scripture from Hebrews. I have quoted another one from Colossians, because I know the word, by the grace and the mercy of God. And by putting them together like pieces of a jigsaw puzzle, I have now shown you what he actually means. If you don't have the knowledge of those other scriptures, you will say, what does he mean by rest? In fact, if you go and read the historical context in which this scripture is quoted, he was talking about when the Babylonians come, you will not understand what they are saying. But he wasn't just talking about the Babylonians and their natural language. He was talking about tongues that was coming in the Old Testament, in the New Testament. Are you listening to me? This is the rest. Wherewith you may call. Remember, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. How are you going to get rest? Pray in the Spirit. And then you will build up your spirit man, and then you will have rest. Thank you, honey. Hallelujah. This is the refreshing. I maybe want to be refreshed. Refreshing. Edifying. He that speaketh unto him builds himself up. Refreshing. Edifying. It means the same thing. You see, different words, but the same spirit. See, this is how you rightly divide the word of God. And look at it. He prophesied it, yet they would not hear. Do you know that majority of the church don't believe in tongues? Even after all these years. A lot of even Pentecostals, they just pay lip service to it. And they pray in tongues for 2 minutes every day. Or 1 minute in church on Sunday when there's strong anointing. And that's it. He said, yet. He said, I will tell them. But they won't. That's Yoruba. I have to go into Yoruba. Yet they would not hear. This shows you how true the Bible is. This was prophesied thousands of years. When tongues came at the turn of the century, there was a lot of controversy. Even up till now, tongues are growing, still bringing controversy. People are still arguing. I don't believe in this. You speak it once in a while. Do all speak in tongues? Have you heard that before? So yeah, they won't hear. Next verse. I'm not done yet. 13 and 14. Then we're going to go quickly into this thing and close. Thank you, Jesus. Then, but the word of the Lord was unto them. Now, look at how he linked tongues to the word. But you know, if you don't understand the shadow, you will not know that that's what he's talking about. But the word of the Lord was unto them. Precept upon precept. Everyone say precept upon precept. Precept upon precept. Line upon line. Here a little. Jigsaw puzzle. And there a little. That's how he hides it. See, the wisdom of God is scattered throughout the Bible. So you will find something, you will find in one funny place like Zephaniah. Then you find another one in Zechariah. Then you will see another one in Matthew. Then you will see another one in Luke. Then you will see another one in Revelation. Then you will see another one in Genesis. Then you will see another one in Nahum. But do you know where Nahum is? I will not hear Nahum. Is in the Bible. You see another one in Micah. Joel. Hosea. Zephaniah. That's why you must read the whole Bible. You can't cherry pick. Because if you cherry pick, you will miss parts of the jigsaw puzzle. And you will not, there are many things you will not understand. He said, they're little that they may. Now, watch this. It sounds almost, you know, how can I put it? You know, that they might go. I didn't hear you. And fall backward and be broken and snared. The word snare means trapped and taken. You know why God hid the thing like this and he scattered it like this? So as to trap the dishonest and the rebellious. That is, watch this. The scorner seeketh wisdom and findeth it not. Because he has no heart to it. He will read the Bible, but he won't see it. Because the thing is scattered and it's hidden. And that's why you have to humble yourself. There are some things you will not get by reading the Bible yourself. You have to come to church and listen to the prophet or the teacher who's going to teach you. You read yourself, you will mix it up. Because it's here a little, there a little, that they may go forward and be snared.
and be broken. Because God wants the only the honest, only the humble are going to make it through. Amen. Amen. The dishonest were going to be trapped somewhere down the line if they don't change their attitude. Hence this prophetic word. So this prophetic word is not to condemn you. It is not to make things bad for you. It's to make you escape. It's to teach you and help you so you will not fall into the trap. Are you listening to me? God is not against you. God is for you. I heard a man of God say it this way, and I loved it. You know, he said, the wisdom of God is not hidden from us. It's hidden for us. It's not hidden from us. It's hidden for us from the dishonest, from the rebellious. I don't know. What do I... God have mercy. Am I helping anybody here? I know it's, you know. Now, let's move quickly. And I'm trusting God will help me. You know, so it's hidden. So that's why you have to rightly divide the word of God. It takes revelation knowledge. So, but when you rightly divide it, you will know this part from Matthew is the one that fits in with this part from Isaiah. This one from Luke is the one that fits in with this one from Zephaniah. This one from, you know, Isaiah is the one that fits in with this one from, you know. And that's why you need a prophetic an apostolic anointing to be able to rightly divide the word of truth. Now, God does not want us. Why does he want us? He doesn't want us to suffer wrath. He doesn't want us to suffer this terrible tribulation that is coming upon the earth. You know, and there are three shadows. Now, Bimbo, put that thing up on the board. I thank God I taught you last week by the grace and the mercy of God about, you know, prophetic times and shadows. Now, this is particularly true for the rapture. I call them, just keep it like that, the three orders of the resurrection harvests. Honey, this is amazing. It is an amazing truth. Do you know that in natural Israel, they had three harvests every year? There was the barley harvest. There was a barley harvest. There was a wheat harvest. Then there was a fruit harvest. The barley harvest was in Passover. The wheat harvest was in Pentecost. And the fruit harvest was in Tabernacles. They correspond to the three orders of the resurrection. And you know why? You know, God has such a sense of humor. I'm going to come show you the scripture in a minute. But before I do that, let me just explain to you. Then we'll just look at the scripture. And then we'll look at how, and then we'll close. Watch this. The barley harvest, the way they harvested barley, was because barley is heavy. So that's what happened. You remember Ruth? Ruth got to Bethlehem with Naomi at the beginning of the barley harvest. There's another message for another day. Now, what happened in the barley harvest is this. They gather all the thing, then they throw it up. When they throw it up, the barley is heavy, but the chaff is light. So the wind blows away the chaff. So by blowing away the chaff, the thing that lands on the ground is barley. And that's how you get. So the barley harvest, watch this, does not require any beating. It does not require any stamping. That is why it prefigures the pre-tribulation rapture. The pre-tribulation Christian does not need to be beaten. He does not need to be crushed before he will hear. All he needs is the Holy Spirit. It's the wind. Kasele mengrada fres. Look at the pre-tribulation. And you find the substance. This is the shadow. This is the substance, you know, on the right. You know, in Luke 21:36, the scripture we all know, Jesus said, watch and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape what is coming. He doesn't need to beat you. The obedient, the humble, the honest will just simply do it. He will watch and pray. So he does not have to go through any beating. Omo Jew. In your Bible, people have what they call, you know, there's some children, you don't have to beat them. Just look at them like this, and they've got the message. And there's all our children, they'll just take their high away and say, my shit to me. Omo Egba. Ah, Nisho Omo Egba. Ah, Shomo Jew. Ami Okpo. Okay. So that's what prefigures the pre-tribulation rapture. And the pre-tribulation rapture is shown in Revelation chapter 12, verse 5. You see the woman there represents Israel on one hand and the church. And she gives birth to a man child. I would say man child. Say it again. Say it again. Now, ordinarily, man child just means male. Means he's a male. That's why he doesn't use, you know, sometimes he uses the church as a bride. But in that scripture in Thessalonians, he doesn't use a bride. He uses he. Because he's talking about the man child. And then the man child also represents, and we're going to see this at the end, the man and the children. I and the children God has given unto me are for signs and wonders. The end time church is going to be a combination of spiritual men who have grown up to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ and a fully submitted followership that are children, so that the covering on the men will now go to the children, so they will also go. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Now let's look at the other harvest very, very quickly, and then I'll move on. The wheat harvest represents the mid-tribulation rapture. And you find this in Exodus chapter 34 in verses 22 and 23 because of time. What happens with the wheat harvest is there's a harvest of wheat. It happens a few weeks after the barley harvest. In order to harvest the wheat, you have to take the wheat and beat it. When you beat it, you now take the cob out of it. And that's how they harvest it. It's very interesting. I heard a prophetic teacher teach this. You know, I didn't know this, you know, because they go to Israel and all of that. The thing they use in order to be able to do the wheat, it's called a tribulum. Tribulation. They you put the thing in something and then you... And you see it in Revelation. That's the shadow. The substance is in Revelation 11. You see the two witnesses. They are killed. And then the spirit of life raises them. Then the Bible says they ascend to heaven. What in a cloud? It's a rapture. It's an order of resurrection. But it's different from the order of the man-child. Then the third one is the post-tribulation one. And this is the fruit harvest. Now, the way they harvest fruit, they still do it up till today. But they just use a lot of machinery and everything today. You see this in Deuteronomy chapter 16, in verses 13 and 16. The fruit harvest is where they cut the grapes. They cut the fruits. And in order to get the wine out of the grapes, you... You have to crush it. It typifies the post-tribulation rapture. That's the only way you can get anything from them. And you know the interesting thing? To show you that this thing is really true. Before all this tribulation and Jesus comes and the rapture and all that, there would have been the manifestation of sons of God. People would have seen the glory of God. They would have heard all this teaching on perfection and everything, yet they would ignore it. You know what the Bible says? It says, because they love not the love of the truth, therefore God unto sin sends a great delusion, that they might believe a lie. When they were here, and that's why they were not counted worthy to escape. So they didn't go the first order. They didn't go the second order. Until that one came. You know God is merciful.
in spite of that, I say, for the elect's sake. But I tell you, it's going to be a really rough time. You don't want to be here. The Antichrist is going to be cutting off their heads. He's going to force them to take the mark of the beast. The mark of the beast is already here. It's not coming, it's already here. Now, of course, it's not the mark of the beast now. But the technology is already here. You can put a chip. They have it in Switzerland and some of the Sweden and some of the countries now. Instead of carrying your credit card around, you know, and using it, you can put a chip. Don't do it if you're a born-again Christian. Many Christians are so ignorant. I know it's technology. I'm a technology guy myself. Are you listening to me? Do you understand? You can use your fingerprint and you can use your iris. Don't take anything into your body. Or you are setting yourself up for the mark of the beast. Because what is going to happen is this. It's already functional as I speak in Sweden. And they're doing test runs. They're doing test runs now. You know all these things are going to take place about 20 years time when it do not become law. But now they're just doing all the test runs and everything. They put the chip. And you know the Bible is so accurate. I fear God. Thousands of years before there was any computer, the Holy Ghost had already seen it. The Bible said he will show you things to come. And he had John to record it. He said they either have it in their forehead or in their right hand. Where are they putting the chip? And right hand. So when you go to a shop, instead of all the trouble of credit card and everything, just put your hand. The laser thing, it will just scan it. It already knows your account number. It knows everything. It will debit it and all of that. You know, it's convenient. But when the Antichrist is now the one who is controlling the world, you will not be able to buy and you will not be able to sell unless you have that mark. And it will send you straight to hell. Don't take it. If they say technology, use my iris. It's just as efficient. I just look into the thing to scan it. You understand? I can use my fingerprint. But you're not putting anything in my body. You are not putting anything in my body. Don't take it. Thank you, darling. Let me sell her. Don't take it. No matter how attractive the technology, they say, they can put it in your hand. Don't take it! That's how we know that it's at the doors. All this technology was not available even 10 years ago. That's how we know we're so close to the end. Everything the Antichrist is going to need to operate is already in the earth. The artificial intelligence is already in the earth. The scanning is already in the earth. I got to close. Jeshua! So, there's three others. Paul said, every man in his own order. He says, one star will differ from another star in glory. Where did we get this lie from? That we are all going to be the same. It's a lie. It's a Satan's lie to keep us, you know, in a fool's paradise. Can you imagine going, believing we're all going to go? Then rapture day happens and you don't go. Imagine how distraught you would be. Super pastors will be empty that day. I'm trusting God. Nobody will come to church that day. They would have already gone. Except some visitors. In Jesus' mighty name. It will be a disaster. After we've heard all these things all these years. And then you suddenly come to church and everybody's gone. The choir is empty. Maybe two or three. I'm trying to put ginger people up. Amen. All the life of children, gone. I know that we shout. All the pastors, gone.
gbogun lo fe lo. All of us gone. Thank God for mommy. I'm going to show you how to go in a minute. You will go. You have time, but don't waste time. You have time, but you don't have all the time. You need to correct some things now. The main prerequisite for going with the pre-tribulation rapture was given by the Lord Jesus himself, not Olubi Johnson, not Sarah Johnson, not Boyega Adesina. It is not a scripture pastor doctrine. It is truth from the truth himself. Luke 21:36. Jesus is speaking in the context of the tribulation and all of these things. Because of time, we can't go into all of the details and all that. It's not necessary. Let's just zero in. Where? Watch ye therefore. Whenever you say therefore, find out what it is therefore. He was talking in the light of all the tribulation and all this. He said, therefore, I don't want you to get into it. He said, therefore, watch ye. And pray sometimes. Thank you. How do you know rapture will not happen on Saturday morning? No, Sunday. Sunday is too obvious, Pastor Kwega. Everybody knows Sunday we're going to church. Saturday, yellow da. Uru Saturday, don't want nightclub. You know what? Because nobody knows the day or the hour. I told you that during the Bible study. You know, we even we who are preaching, we don't know. All we just know is that we have to be ready. None of us knows the day or the hour. And the funny thing is that it's going to be in different parts of the world at the same time. That's why you see in the book of Luke, he said that two people will be grinding, one will be taken, the other left. He said two are sleeping in the bed, one will be taken, and the other left. He said two are walking in the field, one will be taken, because at different times in the world, you see, when it is morning here, it's night in another place. That is how you know the Bible was written by God. Because at that time, they didn't even know the world was round. That's how you know the Bible was written by, because at the time they were writing, they didn't even know the world was, they didn't even understand the revolving of the planet. That knowledge did not come until hundreds of years later. How did God know that at the same time some people are sleeping, some will be walking? Right now, in some places in the world, they are sleeping. But the rapture doesn't care whether you are sleeping, whether you are in the office, whether you are in the land, he doesn't care. You might be in a plane. You will go. The pilot can go. You can now imagine the chaos. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. The pilot will be raptured. Co-pilot, raptured. The plane will just crash. It's called Great Tribulation. Stop playing games. Sit down if you can. I'm not done yet. Watch ye therefore and pray sometimes. That's how a lot of us interpret it. Pray sometimes. You know, when you have the anointing, then you that won't get you raptured. Always. And I've taught this in detail. You know, I can say like Paul, my hand is free of the blood of any man. I have not shunned these last 20-something years to declare the whole counsel of God. I, yet not I, but the grace and the mercy of God which has been with me and is still with me now, that you may be counted worthy to escape some of these things. So you have to practice now. I'm putting some of my guys on alert, you know, training them, you know, watch and pray always. Once every 6 hours, at every opportunity, you know, acknowledge the Lord. Watch. To what are you watching? You're watching the presence of God. You're watching the presence of God and the word of God. You know, I have set the Lord before me. He's always at my right hand. Always. Always. So if he wants to go, he will tell me.
You know, I know we will not know the day, and I know we will not know the hour. But I am fully convinced of this because he's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. He is a nice guy. When is this week? You say, get ready. You know, it will be the people who are walking with God who will know. You will have the weakness in your spirit. As you were weak, you know. The guys who are not walking with God, they won't know. And even if you tell them, they won't believe. They will laugh in your face. Are you listening to me? When the day begins to approach, he will prompt you. But he won't tell you the hour. And when the hour arrives, you say, get ready. You will not know the minute. You know, an hour is 60 minutes. It could be 1 minute past the hour. It could be 15 minutes. It could be 30. It could be 45. Only God knows. And you know, the fun thing about this thing is that God is instantaneous. Twinkling of an eye. Do you understand? We're talking about less than nanoseconds, picoseconds. So, you know, it is what you develop as your habits now that will save you. So watch and pray always. You know, constantly ask for mercy. Mercy. Mercy, receive your blood, life, and power. Pray in tongues. You know, after some time, the Holy Spirit will prompt you. Talk to the Holy Spirit in your thoughts. Use your thoughts. All these things I've taught, I can't go into detail now. You know, you ask your thoughts to receive mercy and develop that culture now. Amen. So it becomes your second nature. Thank you. It becomes your real nature. Don't ask you second. So so from now you're already watching and praying. Now I got a beautiful scripture for us. You understand? What happens to the person who was born again 2 weeks before? Is it because he's a baby Christian he will not go? He will go. You know why? The perfect church is going to be made of a perfect leadership. Observe the words. And a fully, not partially, a fully submitted followership. Watch this and see the glory of God. And by the grace of God, I'm probably going to close with this particular scripture, which I'm going to quote now and teach you from. You know, when you have a perfect leadership, the perfect leadership is walking in the stature of the fullness of Christ. That, watch this, that perfect leadership has learned over the years as they were growing to use the blood, the word, and the spirit to perfect the love of God. So they are already walking in it. That's what they do 24/7. Are you listening to me? The followership that are coming behind them, who may not yet be at that level, but because they are under their covering. Amen. Are you listening? Watch this. As the guy on top is praying, Lord have mercy. No, he's not saying have mercy on me. He's saying have mercy on us. All those under that covering who have the right heart and have an open womb, that blood flows to them. That life flows to them. That power flows to them. So they are now able to watch and pray because of what is coming from the top. Give me Psalm 133. I got good news for you. Even the children will go. The babies will go. So long as they are connected to somebody, a parent who is walking in the spirit, that thing on the father or the mother will go down to the child, because children don't know. And God is a good God. There will be no babies left behind. You know why? I got news for you. They came from heaven.
Yes, sir.
You only were just an instrument to bring them there. Where did their spirit come from? It wasn't from your sperm or from your egg. Your egg and your sperm are just biological things. Where did the spirit of that baby come from? They came from God. And it will return back to God. So long as it's a baby and it doesn't have any noise, it will go. The babies will go. If a woman is pregnant, the pregnancy will go.
She will go with her baby. It has to be. It has to be. God is a righteous God. Will the judge of the whole earth not do right? He always does right.
Amen.
Oh yes, the babies will go. The little children, usually those who have not yet reached the age of accountability, you know, usually maybe about 10, 12 years old and under, they will all go. The anointing that is from the top. Look at it. Behold. 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 How good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in no blocks. No unforgiveness. You see, that's why it's going to be a glorious church, not having spot, blemish, wrinkle, or any such thing. Because the blood that is flowing from the head is cleaning the spots, is cleaning the life and the power, is cleaning the blemishes.
Amen.
No unforgiveness. You can't go in that first. Unforgiveness cannot go with the first flight. How good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Now, watch the next verse. It is like. This is a shadow that is describing a substance of the glory of God. The anointing is on the head. He's using Aaron here as a type. But it's going to be the leadership of the church, of the perfect church, that is upon the head that ran down the beard. The beard is just symbolic of, you know, maturity. Even Aaron's beard, and that went down to the skirts of his garment. The whole body that is connected to that head is covered. It's covered. It's covered. Next verse. As the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descend upon the mountains of perfect church. For there, a place called there. For there, the Lord has commanded the blessing. And then he particularizes it, even Zoe forevermore. What's going to rapture you out of here? Zoe. The life of God, it flows from the head. The cleansing of the blood, the life and the power of God, it flows through the whole body. So that whole body is magnetized spiritually because of the life of God that is flowing through the physical members, the mortal body, because it's flowing from the head, the whole thing from the top to the bottom. So when Jesus appears, he's going to present to himself a glorious church. So he comes, the life in him attracts the life in you. They go up. The guys who don't have life, they don't go up. Because the insulator has blocked the life. So they can't go. So they have to wait for the next flight. They have to be beaten before they will hear. Wheat or fruit. It will not be your portion. I'm giving you this information 20 years up front. About. Maybe more. Maybe, I'm not sure. You know. I'm giving you years ahead. Do it now. So, not only will you go, my last statement by the Spirit, your children will go.
Amen.
Your grandchildren will go.
Amen.
You won't leave any part of your household here.
Amen.
For the great tribulation. Remember, the promise is this. He says, I have set before thee this day life and death. Therefore, watch this. Choose life, not only that you may, not only that you will live, but that your seed will live. Choose it now. Stand to your feet. Let's pray. This is truth. It's not Pentecostal doctrine. It's not Olubi's doctrine. It's pure truth from the Word of God. Ignore it to your peril. Don't let them deceive you. We are all the same. It's going to happen. Jesus is coming tomorrow. Stay raptured. All that is lies. It's lies based on, I don't say that in a negative kind of way, in a vindictive kind of way. It's based on ignorance. See, when I was a child, I thought as a child. They're thinking like children. They're talking like children. They're spiritual children. That's why they don't understand. Jesus is not coming tomorrow.
He's not coming next week. And you got to thank God he's not coming. Because if he came, majority will not go. As of today. You know what he's coming for? It's a very simple question to answer. A glorious church. Not having spot, blemish, wrinkle, or any such thing. I'm about to give you an ouch. Any blemishes in your life?
Yes, sir.
Any wrinkles?
Yes, sir.
Any spots?
Yes, sir.
So you wouldn't go if he came today. Everybody say, thank God he's not coming. He's not coming yet. He's coming. So he's given us time. So this is time now to use the blood, the word, and the spirit. Remove the spots. Remove the blemishes. Remove the wrinkles. And then let that thing flow to your children. Let it flow to your grandchildren. Let it flow. You see, anybody who is fully submitted will get it. Because once the heart is open, what is coming from the top will come. And it will clean out the spots, the blemishes, and the wrinkles. So they will qualify. The only thing that will stop you, that's why he said, watch this. His words are so pregnant with meaning. He said, watch therefore and pray all. But the word I want to bring out is that you may be accounted worthy. You know, it can't be works. It can't be works because God doesn't do it. You know, it's heart. Worthy. Worthy. A good heart. An honest heart. Oh, that. Those who are not accounted worthy, don't go. I didn't say they don't go to heaven. They go to heaven. But they can't go in this order. And we are now a people prepared, made holy and clean by the blood of the Lamb, watching and praying for Jesus' return, preparing our hearts like a bride getting ready.
We now drink
from the water of life in the city Zion, where the Lord is the light.
We hear you say
you are coming soon,
and the spirit
and the bride say, and we are now people prepared. Start again. We are now a people prepared,
holy and clean
by the blood of the Lamb,
sin and praying
for Jesus' return,
bearing our hearts
like a bride getting ready.
We now drink
from the water of life in the city where the Lord is alive.
We hear you say
you are coming soon, and the spirit and the bride say,
this is the day of his return.
This is the day of his return.
The very time
of his appearing.
Raise your voice.
Sound the alarm.
Let
his bride make white her garment.
And we are now
a people prepared,
holy and clean
by the blood of the Lamb.
And
I'm praying for Jesus' return,
bearing
our heart like a bride getting ready.
We now drink
from the water of life in the city
where the Lord is alive.
We hear you say
you are coming soon,
and the spirit and the bride say,
redemption, hallelujah.
Redemption plan is now fulfilled.
Angels, hallelujah.
Angels and men, angels and men are hushed before him. Blood and shame.
made holy and clean by the blood of the Lamb.
Watching and praying
for Jesus' return.
Preparing our hearts
like a bride getting ready.
From the water of life
in the city
where the Lord is the light.
We hear you say,
yeah, you say,
you are coming soon.
And the Spirit and the bride say,
and we are now.
And we are now.
The people prepared
by the blood of the Lamb,
watching and praying
for Jesus' return,
preparing
our hearts like a bride getting ready.
And we now drink
from the water of life
in the city
where the Lord is.
We hear you say,
we hear you say,
you are coming soon.
And the Spirit and the bride say,
we hear you say,
we hear you say,
you are coming soon.
And the Spirit and the bride say,
we hear you say,
Lord, we hear you say,
you are coming soon.
And the Spirit and the bride,
put one hand on your heart and raise the other hand. The very time of his appearing. If you look at the shadow, you check the scriptures later. He says, three times a year must all the males appear. So there are going to be three appearances. Barley, wheat, fruit. Truth is unchanging. Raise that hand.
It's right there.
Thank you.
Thrice in a year, there are going to be three harvests.
Appear the first time. It all depends. Are you barley? Are you wheat? Do you have to be taken through a tribulatum and beaten before you will hear? Or will you hear by the wind, by the Spirit? The choice is yours.
Don't let them lie to you. They're lying to you. They're maybe not deliberately, but sometimes out of ignorance, you know. But you know, ignorance is no excuse in law. Don't let them fool you. Remember the words of Jesus. Watch ye therefore and pray always. Olubi didn't say it. Brega didn't say it. Mommy didn't say it. Jesus said it. If Jesus said it, take it seriously. And he's very careful. He said that you may be accounted worthy. It means that they are checking everybody who is going to go. Otherwise, how are they going to know he's accounted worthy? It means there's a check. They're going to check every heart. Remember the parable of the guy that didn't have a wedding garment? And the Bible says that the Lord came to check. Every heart is going to be checked. You can hide from me. You can hide from man. You cannot hide from God. Change that heart. Become totally submitted. Once it's shown, don't follow men blindly. Follow us as we follow Christ. If we are following Christ, then follow us. Find out what the Bible says. Paul said, follow me as you have us for example. Take the word of God. Find out. Is it? Don't not just Bolubi said it. Let me go and find out myself. Be like a Berean Christian. Are these things so? They cite the scriptures. Is there a mid-tribulation rapture? Revelation 11. Is there a post a pre-tribulation? Luke 21, 36. Is there a post-tribulation? Matthew 20. I can see it all. I didn't make it up. The choice is yours. Raise that hand. We're going to pray. Say, Father, we confess our sins. And so we cling with the blood of Jesus from all unrighteousness. In Jesus' name we have life. Lord, have mercy on us as we pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you because you love us. Your word tells you, you have not appointed us unto wrath. You have not appointed us
to partake of this great tribulation. You said we will escape all these things by watching and praying always and being accounted worthy, having an honest and a humble heart, so we can receive the anointing from the headship of the church, from you through your leaders to the rest of the body, so that we can be covered in that glory and we can be taken up. Father, I understand. Have mercy on me. Grant me fresh mercy, grace. Fresh mercy and fresh grace to start practicing now, using the blood, the word, and the spirit to watch and pray always. In the morning, in the afternoon, in the evening, at night, to watch and pray always, to become sensitive to your spirit, to commune and fellowship with you all the time, so that when anything is happening, I will know, because you will not keep me in darkness, because you are a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Help me, Lord, in Jesus' name. Let's pray in the spirit. Nika toloma, mercy, Lord. Jeke toloma kara toloma shukum. Toloma stofenes. Leke tofenes. Nera shelengire tofenes. Lombridikash. Lombradalas. Nongridolo moshalaki kofenes. Lombridelek. Toloma stofe. Tofenia. Mercy, Lord. La prega gakama toloma stofes. Zike tofene. Lopredea. Lomo shelengi kofene. Lord, have mercy. Lombrega glomatolom to fish. Lombrega glomatolom to fish. Lombrega glomatolom to fish. Zofinilas. Tofinis. Tofinengaras. Jiki tofinis. Longardeles. Jiki tolomangar dolomars. Jelekika cofres. Noki tolomoras. Jiki tofinis. Longardaras. Tolomaras. Tolom to fish. Tolomangaras. In Jesus' name, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up the light of His countenance upon you. The Lord God gives you peace. God makes you head and not tail, above only and not beneath. Everything you set your hand to is successful. You are at least 10 times better than your peers. You possess the gates of your enemies, even the gate of death. So you will live, you will not die. You will live and declare the glory of God in the land of the living. With long life will God satisfy you and show you His salvation in the perfection of the fullness of Christ. So the Lord imparts unto you the anointings of Enoch, of Abraham, Joseph, Moses, Joshua, Ruth, David, Elisha, Daniel, Esther, Paul, and John. In Jesus' name, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit rest and abide with us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name. Turn to him and say, you watch and pray always, and so you escape the great tribulation. God bless you, and have a great evening.